Welcome into the 615 Sessions podcast on this beautiful Friday afternoon in Middle Tennessee. We are joined by the always awesome Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. Today's guest co-host, Titans making all kinds of hires. We're going to talk about them with Teresa. Always good to see you, my friend. Thank you for making the time.
My pleasure, Buck. Is there stuff going on? I mean, you know, Senior Bowl, coaching, hirings, and the one that I think that we all had been anticipating since we knew that it was Brian Callahan, I think the biggest one for the biggest need on this team. What do you think?
And I think it's an appropriate place to start, Teresa, given that you asked the question in the press conference, if I'm not mistaken, last Thursday when Brian Callahan, the new head coach of the Titans, was introduced, if he had given any thought to interviewing his father, at which at the time he responded, no, hadn't thought about it at all just yet. I'm going to take him at his word on most things, but that one felt like it might have been slightly disingenuous. Yes?
You think? I mean, I'm sorry, but father, son, Bill Callahan has been in the NFL such a long time. They know the rules. And, you know, my follow-up was, are you going to talk to him for a job? And he's like, he's under contract with another team. And credit to the Haslams with being smart enough to and nice enough to, you know, some people could be, you know, play hardball and say, no, we're not going to let you go because we know you're one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. And, oh, appropriately enough, the biggest issue for this franchise right now is fixing And I hate to say it, fixing a line that a year ago I thought there's no way they can be worse. Oh, they dug down and found a whole new level of low. And this is probably the top priority in addition to getting some more weapons on offense for Will Levis. But the concept that, you know, you've got to fix this offensive line and they, you know, is it the seventh pick overall? Does he go wide receiver? But getting Bill Callahan, the Browns letting him come, that is just absolutely huge. Credit to my colleague, Tom Withers, who handled that for the Associated Press yesterday. But, you know, that's huge. I mean, how many fans wanted Keith Carter's head on a platter? How many people were not happy with, I never could say his name when he was the offensive line coach.
Haas,
there you go. But that's the thing that it, you know, probably the best offensive line coach that this franchise has had since Mike Munchak had that position before he took over as head coach for the 2011 season. So absolutely a huge get. And this is the seventh. I mean, they're just the seventh head coach pairing father, son in NFL history. I'm not going on the interim trail. That's a rabbit hole, baby. Stay out of that. But they are the seventh father and son combo to be head coaches in the NFL. And you know what? Making me feel a little old these days. I covered Bill Callahan when he was coaching the Raiders in Oakland in an AFC championship game against the Titans and Steve McNair when injuries had taken and injuries. Steve McNair carried that team on his back and he got into that AFC championship game and they just ran out of juice that day in Oakland. Otherwise, I was packed for a trip to San Diego for the Super Bowl that year. So, and I'm wearing this hat. This is the last time that Brian Callahan coached in a Super Bowl, the one in LA, SoFi Stadium, 2 years ago when the Bengals came up short against the Rams. I may not do to him what I did to Matt LaFleur in his 1 year as offensive coordinator. That one day I needed to talk to Matt. I wore the hat from Houston when he was with the Falcons and they blew the 28-3 lead. So I might go with the Super Bowl 50 hat the next time we have availability with Brian, or excuse me, Callie. He doesn't know how to respond to Brian. I know. It's like, okay, Callie. I've got a niece who's named Callie, so that's going to be a challenge for me. But I might wear the Super Bowl 50 hat on that day.
Well, a subtle flex, but not so subtle flex at all by Teresa Walker that she has multiple Super Bowl hats, having covered multiple Super Bowls for the Associated Press. Yes, I know, Teresa. Thank you.
It's not a flex if it's true.
Teresa Walker is hanging out here with us as we talk about the Titans coaching staff. So Bill Callahan is, I mean, he's the most celebrated position coach hire since whom, Teresa? I've not seen anybody this cycle head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, as celebrated universally as Bill Callahan being acquired by the Titans. And, you know, it was my understanding that Cleveland was not initially fired up to let him go, and that this was something that they wanted to work through over the course of the last week and change. That's why Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan didn't go to the Senior Bowl. They wanted to hang back and make sure they got the coaching staff as right as humanly possible. So far, not a ton of volume there, though we're starting to get to the halfway point with them offensively and defensively, at least for the position coaches and coordinators right now. But I'm trying to think of the last time that this team had a position coach that was as highly regarded or as celebrated as Bill Callahan coaching the Titans offensive line, given just how bad that group has been and how good he is at his job.
That's a great point, because I'm thinking back, you know, when they hired Bruce Matthews to work under Mike Munchak, he was a guy who was a Hall of Famer, and you're thinking this is going to be a good thing. Challenges, as much as Titans fans, and I loved covering Bruce Matthews while he was here. That's, you know, not wanting to fire Bruce Matthews is one of the reasons why Mike Munchak was fired on a Saturday after making a flight to Houston to make his case. And I was assured by many people his job is safe. I went to Memphis to cover a basketball doubleheader with Memphis and UConn women being ranked number one at that time, as usual at that point. And suddenly it's like Mike Munchak's fired. And it's like, I may have seen 5 minutes of basketball that day because it was all Titans, because it was unexpected. And, you know, that's the challenge is, you know, when you bring in somebody as a position coach. Now, I might argue that bringing in Greg Williams to be I think his title was senior defensive assistant, similarly to Jim Schwartz. Mm-hmm. And for those 2 years that Jim was with the Titans, we didn't know exactly what he was doing. And then we found out that, you know, he was chiming in and providing feedback, but, you know, they did him a solid, you know, but this one for the need for the, and when Schwartz came in, let's not forget, they were having trouble getting to the quarterback hugely, but let's face it, Bill Callahan, this offensive line, this is a match made in football heaven, because need versus meeting coach of this ability, that, you know, with his success, and I mean he is at the top of that offensive line coach list, and understandable why Cleveland might say, I don't know if we want to let him go. I mean, you know, they've had injuries. Jack Conklin's had issues staying healthy for a full season when he's up there, and he's worked magic on that line. So I can understand that Haslam's not wanting to say, sure, go ahead and we'll let you talk to him. But, you know, guess what? This is one advantage of the Haslam's also being Tennessee natives, because they understand that it wouldn't be the best PR, you know, for them as NFL owners or as Tennessee natives if they had said no to that.
God knows Jimmy Haslam could use some PR, good PR in the state of Tennessee. With that said, Teresa, they can't fix all the problems, because the main problem remains the roster, right? Like, yes. Mike Vrabel and the issues that came to pass over the course of a period of time that saw that relationship between him and Amy Adams Strunk deteriorate to the point where she had to make a move, and did so, pretty quickly. I think that they have so many issues on the roster that they can't correct all of them in one offseason, even though it is fair to expect sweeping change, not just with the coaching staff, but with this team moving forward. Reclamation projects are all over the place, or at least opportunities for reclamation projects on this roster, be it Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips. And we'll talk about Tyke Tolbert, the veteran wide receiver coach who is coming in here to try and get, I don't want to say lay hands on, but get his hands on them and try and get more out of that wide receiver group. You've got the offensive line situation with not just Peter Skoronski, who we know is going to be a starting player for this team moving forward, provided that he's healthy, but NPF and Dylan Radins, whose careers are just big old question marks, and Radins heading into year four. I mean, this contract year for Dylan Radins, I don't know what the hell he's capable of doing beyond they didn't want to play him very, very much here. And I don't know how much of that was the previous coaching staff's fault that he never clicked the way that he did, how much Dylan Radins individually is to blame, or somewhere in between, but that they have players on this roster that they have to make reclamation projects out of while they start to rebuild the level of talent here organically. Those two coaching hires in particular are not lost on me for that reason.
Oh, absolutely. Because that's the thing. Even though they have, the last time I looked, the second most cap space for 24, you can't spend all the money this year. You know, they have to keep reserve to get through the season and planning into the future and things like that. So, you know, they can't go out. No NFL team can suddenly go out. You're going to have 24 free agents. You just can't go out and sign 24 high-priced free agents. You just can't. So they've got to pick and choose. You know, do we try to add two or three offensive linemen through free agency? Do we go get a Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, if the Bengals don't slap the franchise tag on him? Which positions do they prioritize? And then, oh yeah, there's the seventh pick overall, but they cannot fill every issue in this one off season. They can take a giant step forward, and God knows, I'm praying, I think we all on this Titans beat are praying, it can't get worse. Seven losses by one score. So if this offense, you know, talk about laying hands, if Bill Callahan can lay hands and heal that offensive line, if Tober can lay, I mean, literally, let's bring the preachers in, lay the hands. There are positions that absolutely need healing, addressing more talent, better talent, without a doubt. But they've got to prioritize. And that's going to be part, you know, after they get this coaching staff fixed, before they go to the combine, as they are setting their free agency target list, they've got to pick and choose and prioritize who they want to go after, because they've got to, you know, they're going to have to see what they get. This is the tough part. You don't get to know what these position coaches will be able to do with the Raiders and MPF and help Skoronski take, that biggest step, allegedly, year one to year two. He is a guy who should be taking that big step. Will Levis as well. But you won't know what those guys can do until a couple of weeks before the draft. So, you know, you can look at film, you can presume, but last March they thought Andre Dillard would be a starting left tackle for them. So that's the thing. You know, until you get on the field in the season, sometimes you don't know what you've got, but they're going to have to prioritize and pick certain areas to focus on. And this is where Bill Callahan on that offensive line is going to be just such a huge piece, because, you know, MPF is on a rookie deal. Dylan Raiden's contract year. I thought Christian Fulton in a contract year in 23 would do better than he did.
Yeah, truly.
Uh-oh. So, you know, sometimes these don't pay off. So we're going to see some of that as they start putting this roster reclamation project. Heck, this whole team is a reclamation project at this point.
Yeah, they need Bill Callahan and his first order of business as the Titans offensive line coach to just show Andre Dillard where the door is and move on with that, because even that is a reclamation project that is too much for the greatest offensive line coach going right now to, or active right now, to be able to reclaim. A couple of notes for the audience as Teresa Walker hangs out here with us from the Associated Press, the Hall of Famer in the flesh, on the 615 Sessions podcast. Quick reminder that the podcast is presented by Relax the Back Nashville, the highest end technology where it relates to your sleep, to your office productivity. If you are in need of better back support from your office chair, if you're not sleeping right at night, Relax the Back has you covered. Go to relaxtheback.com for more information. They haven't done a ton of hiring just yet, Teresa, in a week on the job. They have done plenty of legwork building out this staff. In addition to the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator hires in Denard Wilson and Nick Holes, coming from the Ravens and the Jaguars respectively, they have also hired Steve Jackson, who has been here previously, not just as a player, but as a coach. He is going to coach defensive backs, according to our friend and colleague, Teron Davenport. Frank Bush also coming to coach the Titans linebackers. Not sure whether it's inside or outside linebackers, but he has worked here obviously before. So two guys with Oilers roots in some form or fashion, Titans Oilers roots in some form or fashion, coming back to join Brian Callahan's staff, Teresa.
And I'm looking forward to it because I have covered the franchise since it moved to the state. I covered Steve as a player and when he was a position coach with his franchise. So, you know, and let's face it, if he's the DB's coach, as we're expecting, he's got his hands full because I no offense, but Roger McCreary, and it was the one guy that was out there all the time. They've got Elijah Molden, but you know, Caleb Farley, after what he told us with, you know, that he felt like he had a clipped wing still, it you know, it's just tough to see him being able to play this year. And if that's the case, they may end up they may have to make a decision to just go ahead and cut him loose. Yeah. At this point, which is a sad and, you know, tragic situation with all he's gone through off the field. But they've got that's yet another position that needs some laying of hands on and better talent. So, you know, he's going to need some pieces to work with. But, you know, let's face it, the praise on Denard Wilson, is off the charts. Lewis Riddick, you know, he was tweeting years ago that he would be a defensive coordinator in this league. He hasn't done that, you know, yet. Now we get to see what he can do. And it's about time. So, and it's funny to see how some people were panicking about the age of some of these younger coaches. It's like, calm down.
Yeah.
They're going to get some people with experience here. You know, people with some age on them. It's not, they're not bringing in, you know, the cast of, they're not bringing the young kindergarten class to take over this team. Okay. Bill Callahan has been a head coach in this league, a longtime coach. Shoot, Brian Callahan, he's 39. Do you notice that all these lists they keep putting out for the youth of the new hired coaches and the young coaches in the NFL? They keep forgetting Brian Callahan. He's 39, for God's sakes. And they keep forgetting. It's like, hello, the Titans hired a coach too. He's young. Come on, people. This is an NFL franchise.
I have to think it's on purpose at this point, Teresa. There's like, I have moments where I go brain dead on a regular basis, but so consistently that this is a franchise that does not matter outside of the market that it exists in. And you know, through different periods of relevancy and levels of competitiveness, right? That's something that fans are tired of. But I'm telling you, Teresa, if the vibes from Amy in her, and I know they're prepared statements and stuff like that, if the vibes from Amy aren't that she's sick of the shit too, that she's tired of having a franchise that is ignored by the larger NFL population that has had moments of competitiveness but hasn't put it together consistently over the course of their 25 years, really super hot at the start, and then a couple of years ago having the second best run that the Titans in 25 years here, or as the Titans for 25 years have had, she's trying to make them matter more. I think that there's a lot of that that kind of sticks in the back of her craw, or sticks in her craw about how the Titans are covered, how the Titans are treated, and how Titans fans are borderline resentful. I mean, they're not borderline resentful. They are resentful about it, where they're told, well, you can't do any better than Mike Vrabel. And we don't know that Brian Callahan is going to do better than Mike Vrabel, but that they're going about it, that Mike Vrabel does not have a job in 2024 as a head coach, and that they are putting together one of the more heralded staffs by smart football people to replace him, is something that I know that a lot of fans are very quick to take a victory lap on.
Oh.
She unplugged her microphone. She's going to get it back up and running here in just a second, Teresa Walker. New technology. She got a new mic, which we're very happy about, and it sounds like she has corrected the issue. We'll get the visual back up and running as well. This always tends to be a thing that we go through when we get new equipment. You always try and make it work. The equipment doesn't always cooperate, but there she is. We can hear her. We can see her.
I'm back.
See, you're a pro. You got it done. And this is like a NASCAR pit crew operation. You got it done in 2 seconds flat.
Absolutely. Well, the problem is I've got a gray tabby cat that expects to be fed, and he's trying to get my attention. So I'm trying to make sure that he doesn't walk across. I was going to text the husband, but when I try to use the other phone to text the husband, well, the AirPods connected to that briefly. So, yeah, technology, it doesn't help us as much as it hurts us sometimes, right?
Sometimes. Well, as a cat dad myself, I don't want to keep you from feeding yours.
Oh, so he's chubby. Roscoe is a chubby cat. He just walked out of the room because I called him fat. So there you go.
I have also left rooms when you've called me fat, Teresa. So I understand Roscoe's pain at this point in time. I do quickly want to play a clip for the audience and for you, Teresa. I'm sure you've seen it from Jim Wyatt at the Pro Bowl. Derrick Henry just asked about, you know, the situation ongoing here in Tennessee. Obviously, he's there representing the Titans. We don't know if it's going to be the last time that Derrick Henry's representing the Titans for the Pro Bowl, the same way it was for Terrell Williams, who's representing the Titans as the head coach, one of the head coaches at the Senior Bowl, while being on Dan Campbell's staff or agreeing in principle to be. Jimmy asked Derrick Henry about everything that's gone on over the course of the last week, including the hire of Brian Callahan, and this was King Henry's thoughts from the Pro Bowl.
Always fun to be around some of the elite and get to spend some time with them, get to know them, hang out, have fun, have these events, and also get to bring your family out here to experience this. I think it's something special and fun that we can all be a part of, you know, because, you know, it doesn't last forever. So, you know, the older you get, you realize that the time is starting to get a little more limited than when you were younger. And also just bringing your kids out here, bringing your family out here, seeing other guys' families and meeting them. And then it's really just getting to know these guys for more than just football, getting to know them as a person and being able to have some memories and build relationships. I've gotten questions since I've been here. And I told them, I'll see what happens. I've been the Tennessee Titans my whole career. I love Tennessee. That's all I've known. I love the fans, and I'm first time being a free agent, so you gotta see what happens. And, leave everything else up to God. Yeah. I heard some good things about them, and it's an exciting time for the organization right now. And wish everybody all the best, and wait to see what happens. But I've heard a lot of good things about Brian.
So it goes on at some length, Teresa, and Jimmy splicing together a bunch of answers there. If it felt like for the audience, Derek was jumping from answer to answer. But that last part on Brian Callahan, just when he says he wishes everybody well, I know I'm probably reading too much into it, but it just – and Brian Callahan said last week with Rex Rhoda and our buddy Robbie Stanley that, you know, he was never going to say no to a player like Derrick Henry making – a return if the deal made sense for both sides. So nobody really showing their hand at this point, but I can't help but feel that dude is on the way out the door, no matter how many times they praise him publicly.
Well, it's going to come down to money and opportunity. I mean, he kind of made that clear that last day he talked to us after the season finale, one probably the lengthiest sessions we've ever had with Derek. It went over 10 minutes.
Which is an eternity. For people are going to hear 10 minutes and be like, what do you mean that's a long time? No, you don't understand. You have no idea.
2 minutes is what we used to get on a good day from Derek. So, you know, his comfort level here absolutely grew, his comfort level with us. But, you know, he addressed a lot of things because – just in case it was that last time.
Yeah.
And I mean, he did the shout out to everybody from the kitchen staff to you name it on that day. So, and I'll point out Eddie George, the franchise leader in rushing, who Derek could probably catch with one more season, finished his career in Dallas. Chris Johnson did not finish his career with the Titans, but the running back market has changed drastically since even CJ left here. So I'm really curious. I think Derek, everybody wants to see what the market might bring. And the good thing about the NFL having that 2-day tampering period is you can go talk. You can go find out what is it. You know, might the Baltimore Ravens think that we're Derek Henry away from winning the AFC Championship and getting back to the Super Bowl? Some other team that has cap space and decides, you know what? We think he is the guy who can help us get there. And they make an offer that is just too good to pass up. Because the thing is, money and Super Bowl chance, those are two very tough things for a player at his stage of his career. Granted, he just turned 30, and I do think that there is at least two decent seasons left with Derrick Henry. Because why? He was backing up DeMarco Murray when he got to the NFL. So I think that there's tread left on those snow tires that is Derrick Henry, the guy who can look like a Jeep tractor, El Tractorcito, and suddenly he's running down the field. He had the seventh fastest time by a player this last season. He was second in the league in rushing. And, you know, I'm sorry, I can't get that leaping high point grab of his catch on the sideline out of my mind. So I do think that he can still play, but other teams – may be able to come in and say, you know what? We are competing for the Super Bowl right now. Can the Titans really truthfully say that? Even in the AFC South, you know, that's the thing. He may decide, I want to go elsewhere, even for less money, same money, because why? I want the Lombardi Trophy. And he, you know, he made it clear. He didn't win a championship in high school. He won one at Alabama. He has yet to win one in the NFL. That may end up being the deciding factor, and the Titans may not have a chance to keep him.
Well, and that's the thing, Teresa, is he definitely has more to give. But, I mean, this is pre-free agency and pre-draft, so it could look a lot different by the time we get to, you know, end of July, right, for when everybody starts reporting for training camp and this roster looks more finalized. But, like, looking at the Titans right now, they're 4th of 4, right? They're 4th of 4 in the AFC South. They're not in a better situation than the Colts are. They're not in a better situation than the Texans are. The Jags, I'm not really sure what to make of them, but they have a more complete picture of what they are than do the Titans right now. Like I said, this could be a much different conversation in 5 months. But Derrick Henry, by the way, could last through the initial waves of free agency. And then once these rosters start to take more shape, not just in Tennessee, but with contenders who are adding pieces and parts, it may be beneficial to him to not take the most money on the table, because it wouldn't be an issue of money here. They have money to pay. It may make sense to let these teams do the vast majority of their roster building and then for Derek to pick from the best of his options.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, you look at what running backs are being paid in this league right now. It, you know, the hunch, the thought, doesn't seem like teams are going to be rushing out offering huge money to Derrick Henry when free agency starts in the middle of March. It just doesn't. I mean, and we've seen far too often, you know, veterans waiting. And when did DeAndre Hopkins sign? Just before training camp. And, you know, and why did he come here? To play with Derrick Henry and for a team that had been close. And I'll just say this, for that, you know, every year we have a team that goes from last to first. The Houston Texans, there is nobody in the world that thought the Houston Texans were going to be one of those teams a year ago. They were last in the AFC South, and now they're the reigning AFC South champs and won a playoff game with a first-year head coach. It absolutely could happen here with the Tennessee Titans if Rand Carthon, you know, fills that roster the right way, and if Brian Callahan can take that step and be what everyone thinks he can be as the head coach, the Titans certainly think he can be. That's why they made him the first guy they interviewed. So both Zoom and in person. So, well, not really the second interview's in person, you know, so just to be clear. But that's the idea, is that it's the NFL. You don't have to go 3-4 years rebuilding if you can make some of the right moves, and they're going to have a fourth place schedule. That will help as well. So, sure. You know, you can be repaid for good decisions. You can be further punished, Carolina, for bad decisions.
Yeah. If anytime you think it could get, it can't get worse, just look around and know that you could be the Carolina Panthers and it could very well be worse. Jake Evans, who's helping us out today, uploaded this clip from Peyton Manning. I guess Wyatt caught up with him at the Pro Bowl, as well as he's coaching one of the teams. It looks like he's coaching Derrick Henry's team based on the team gear that he's wearing down there. But I guess Peyton had some good lines about Callahan and Henry that we'd like to play for the audience and Teresa too.
I mean, look, Brian Callahan would love Derrick Henry and vice versa. I know there's obviously the business side of it that comes into play, and that's for Rand Carthon and staff to decide. But Brian Callahan appreciates a good running game. His dad's coming over. Dad's the best line coach in the NFL. I know he appreciates a good back. So it'd be a great place for Derek to continue to play, in my opinion.
That's somebody who's played for Brian Callahan and knows Bill very well, especially having run that system in 2015 with the Broncos, Teresa.
And if I'm remembering correctly from the release, the year that the Bengals lost to the Titans, excuse me, the Titans lost to the Bengals, that, and they went to the Super Bowl in L.A., the hat that I'm wearing, Joe Mixon was 3rd in the NFL in rushing. Mm-hmm. So, and for all the people that are so eager to dismiss the run game, you know, you have to be able to run the ball in December and in the playoffs, because you have to have some semblance of balance. It does matter, but you can be creative, and that is where, you know, the Titans offense has struggled these last, well, ever since Art Smith left. You know, to be honest, you've got to be able to do both, And for people who are like, well, we saw them finally get the other back to alternate with Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears this year. He's a guy who was able to, you know, catch passes out of the backfield, but he could also run it up in the between the tackles successfully. That gives creativity and the ability not to be predictable, and the ability, we saw them at times have both of those guys on the field in third down. That makes your offense more dangerous. And that's the thing, you know, sometimes you might, I think I saw a stat that, you know, Callahan's offense, the Bengals run 11 personnel a majority of the time, you know, like 60 to 70%. And that's one running back and one tight end and three wide receivers. Well, guess what? If you've got three wide receivers and, you know, it's not the people that they've been putting out around DeAndre Hopkins this last year, or around AJ Brown before that, then guess what? If you're throwing the ball, Derrick Henry's going to have some more room to run. So, yes, he does value the running game. And he made it very clear at his introductory news conference that he does believe in running the ball, being a physical football team. I've heard that a lot. You know, you got to execute it. But, yeah, I mean, until Derrick Henry signs somewhere else, that door is and should be wide open so that you can welcome him back if you want to, because he's already the rushing touchdown leader. He's already got the most career 100-yard rushing games. That the last thing for him to do with this franchise is become the franchise career rushing leader and pass Eddie George and, yeah, get a title. And AFC South title doesn't cut it. So, and again, I go back to that. You can go from first to, or from worst to first to worst. That's the way the NFL is set up. You make the right decisions, personnel, coaching, and then game decisions. And Bill Callahan brings that in-game decision-making process with him. So, and who did, you know, let's not forget, Brian Callahan raved about how great Zach Taylor was as a boss, walking decision-making as a head coach through with him. So it feels like he's kind of been set up to make a debut that, for, you know, as a first-time head coach in an NFL, he has been put in position, taught, worked with some of the best people in this league. And yeah, for a guy who was adding me last week on Twitter, Peyton Manning's opinion does matter, especially in the state of Tennessee.
By God. Teresa Walker's opinion matters in the state of Tennessee just as much, if not more, than Peyton Manning, because she does more sports than Peyton Manning did. She is the Hall of Famer. She is always good to spend some of her time with us. Teresa, thank you as always. It's good to see you. And certainly they're going to keep you busy this offseason. That's for damn sure.
It doesn't feel like the offseason started because we're going 120 miles an hour all the time, all the year, baby. That's why the NFL dominates the landscape.
Amen. What offseason is always the line when people ask me what I'm going to do with my offseason. What the hell offseason do you think we have? Are you kidding me? And I only do the one. Teresa's doing them all. Thank you, T. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Buck.